This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Everybody standing at the garden. 4 seconds left. Only fitting, it's Brunson near John Starks. 1 second, that's it. We're going to a game six.
Well, at least we got a chance. The miracle happened in Miami.
We're fighting for our lives right now. This is something that can be done. It's been done before 13 times.
This team resembles the city. It's tough, it's physical, it's in your face, and they did that last night. And they did it in front of their home crowd, and there's something to be said about that.
This DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You know, Jalen.
The fans have been great. They treated me well
season. It's that was me. Feeling. I apologize.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Big 7 o'clock hour. DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. I handled it as best I could. I made a mistake. I said, I'm sorry. That's my mistake.
By the way, too, we were just talking about it last segment about the All-NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
So because because Ja Morant didn't make an All-NBA team.
Well, how much does he lose that on?
Ineligible for the Supermax.
That is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Could you imagine having that? Who votes on this thing? It's like writers?
I think so, yeah.
So could you imagine having your entire, not entire, but a large, like we're talking about tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
Tied into a for the most part, meaningless voting by people that a lot of you don't even respect?
That's why it's so important to make sure you're nice to everybody.
Yeah, but how could you bargain that in the CBA?
It would be something that I would be like, no, there's no chance. I mean, how are we agreeing to this?
It's absurd, is what it is.
Yeah, but it's tough in that now. I mean, trust me, I was in those meetings. I was on the executive committee that was trying to fight for the players, and it's like you're in these meetings with the owners, and it's like I got owners to like the owner of our team's like, hey. Just so you guys know, I'll make more money by not playing the season. It's like, well,
how do you counteract that?
I got no leverage.
You have no leverage.
$40 million it's going to cost them, if you were wondering.
So could you know this happens, that, and I'm not saying this is the case with Ja Morant. If there's a couple of guys that are like, I don't like him. Like, he never talks to us. He's always belligerent. He's difficult. I'm not voting for him to be on any of the first three teams in the All-NBA. And now, because of that, he loses out on that level of money?
Yep.
It's crazy. Again, 20, 50, 100,000 to the normal person, ton of money. To anybody's a lot of money. But it's negligible when you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right, because, I mean, no one's going to feel bad for him. I mean, his extension can be, instead of being $233 million over 5 years, it's $194 over 5 years.
Because the NBAPA, they're smart. And the players' union is smart. I'm surprised that they would ever have tied in, if you're all first three-team NBA, how much money you can get. I'm really surprised by that.
You think there's a lot of people that feel bad for Ja Morant right now?
I don't think anybody feels bad.
Right.
But all I'm saying is it's a lot of money to not now be able to get.
$40 million? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
That's Ja Morant feels that money. Like, that's a lot of money.
That's life-changing money.
Yeah. Now, is it life-changing when you go from 190 to 230? I don't know, but it's still a lot of money.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, yeah, right, it's a lot of money. And, I mean, people are like, how do you spend all that money? It's going to be tough to spend all that money. But still, like, there's a real finite period of time where Ja Morant's going to be able to make all this money. Right? I mean, it's, what else is he going to do that's going to make this
money? There's zero people that walk the streets right now that are going to hear the guy's going to make $190 million over the next 5 years. They're going to say, oh.
Well, I know, but the people walking the streets aren't in the same position as Ja Morant.
I understand that. My whole point, it's not the amount. My point is that you have that much money tied into people that are just, you know, making a selective choice of whether you're worthy of being a top, you know, 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah, that could have that. I mean, that kind of impact on.
Yes, that's my point. Now, this portion of our show, driven by the All American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus and Hackensack, Old Bridge and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Today's May 11th, right?
Today's May 11th.
So, do you realize what 3 weeks from today is?
3 weeks from today.
That'd be June 1st.
Oh, yeah. We know what June 1st is.
Yeah. It's the tailgate. is what it is.
Now, this time he's calling from Bayonne.
Where is Bayonne?
It's in Jersey.
It feels like a little like a fishing village in Italy.
You know, it could be. I mean, you take it however you like. Under my watch in Port St. Lucie. Tell me you wouldn't go on a vacation to Port St. Lucie.
Tell me Raymond hasn't already gone on a vacation to Port St. Lucie.
You think people in Ethiopia are like, oh, no, Julius Randle, not respected.
That's one of your sneaky, funniest lines of all time.
Thank you. Well, because you were like worldwide.
I don't know what I said.
I was reacting off of you. You're like worldwide. People are something about Julius Randle. I was like, yeah, I'm sure the Ethiopians are walking the streets.
I love how your mind works.
It's off. 1-800-919-3776. Let's get back to these Knicks calls. It was a great win. The Knicks fans want to talk about it, and they deserve that opportunity. Let's go to Mike in Bayside. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, Dave. How are you guys?
Boy, was I an afterthought in that, huh?
Sorry about that. Looking forward to hearing Omar's take on the Knicks, his rant. But, you know, not to waste time, just want to make a couple points. Last night, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. Julius Randle, I mean, he can be a polarizing figure, and I think that's one of the reasons why Knicks fans, even like myself, I mean, we could get tired of his act. But, you know, he has a game like last night, and the other caller had mentioned it earlier. You know, you're just happy he's on your team, and he really won that game for the Knicks last night. My other point was about Josh Hart. He's a guy that's, and I don't want to be negative because I do think the Knicks still have a shot in the series, but just looking forward already to next season, he's a guy that, I mean, he's a good player to have on your team. But, I mean, he didn't play in the second half, and he's really an offensive liability. He really hasn't been able to hit anything in this series, air balls. I know he's making $13 million. He wants a raise, and I just think $20 million is a lot for a player of his caliber. And I appreciate the call, guys.
Well, thanks for making it. Yeah, I think they'll have to figure that out. But if possible, he would absolutely be a guy. He to me is a glue guy, but more than a glue guy. He's a winner. You win in the postseason with guys like Josh Hart.
Yeah, for me, there's nothing to figure out. Josh Hart's going to be. I should be on this team.
I would think so. I love Josh Hart. And was he great last night? No, but you know what? I'll take him to battle every day.
Absolutely. What you saw though? I mean, and again, right? I mean, his first point. Good point. Good call. I mean, we've been taking a lot of great calls.
Great calls.
One of the problems with this series has been, and throughout the entirety of the playoffs, has been Quentin Grimes not being Quentin Grimes, or Emmanuel Quickly not being Emmanuel Quickly. And last night, I mean, it wasn't the points, but Quentin Grimes played the entire game, all 48 minutes. Had one of the great hustle plays that you'll see in a must-win game, where he gets knocked on his back, looks like he cramps up, he's hobbled around, gets up, and still manages to steal the ball away from Jimmy Butler. That's why. Quentin Grimes is an important piece of your team, and he hasn't been a factor all postseason till now. He hasn't been. There hasn't been much positive to talk about Quentin Grimes' postseason.
He's been bad for the most part.
And last night he showed up.
He was really good last night. I got information.
Oh, yeah.
You ready? I believe.
Big news! Jazz hands!
I have, because I'm in the interwebs, I have stumbled upon the opening game in the NFL.
Oh, here we go.
You ready?
It's Kansas City versus
who? What do you think?
I'm going to go. I don't know. I have to look at. I don't even know what Kansas City plays.
I'll tell you this. You better look at who Kansas City plays. So it's not one of the teams that you know they're going to play.
Okay, here we go. Is it a good game? Oh, it's got to be a good game.
No, Rick, it's a terrible game.
That's an awful question.
I mean, well, you know, I look at you as like, is it part of the brains behind the show? Like, you're a bright guy, Harvard, yeah, whatever. I mean, is it a good game?
That's an asinine scam. So that was one of the worst.
If I said that to you, you would probably slap me across the face.
Yes.
Is it a good game? Yes, it's a good game.
What an awful question that was. I'm out. Maybe I take the rest of the show off.
Rawr!
How about that?
No. How about you host the rest of the show? Like, you run point on the rest of the show as punishment for asking that stupid question.
I'm going to go with...
Where are you going to go?
Ooh. Did they go Kansas City, Philly to open the season?
They do not.
Oh, I know who it is.
They do not.
I got it.
What do you got?
Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Hosting.
Yep.
The LA Chargers.
No.
Buffalo Bills.
I'm going to tell you, because now you're over three. Kansas City. This comes from Jordan Schultz. Kansas City hosting Detroit.
We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right.
Thursday night, September 7, Kansas City hosting the Fighting Dan Campbells.
Rawr!
And the Detroit Lions. Let's go.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, that's...
Stop it.
Yeah, but I just gave you, I mean, Kansas City Bills, Chargers, Eagles.
Yeah, well, that's not the game.
Yeah, but you would want those more?
Listen, don't ask one of the worst questions in radio history and then turn the tables on me. I think Lions are going to be one of those teams this year. I'm bullish. I think many people are bullish on the Lions.
Can I say something, though? Too many are, I feel like. Not a good question from Rick. He admits that. I think you were a little tough on him. I think there's better games on paper. When you say...
Did I say this is the greatest game of the season?
I think it's a fine game. I think it's fine.
But what did I say that led you to believe it... I didn't say this is the greatest. I didn't say... I mean,
you crushed him. He asked,
is it a good game?
I don't know that Detroit has earned that right yet to be in this.
Detroit's got a brand new secondary. Kansas City's dropping 40 on them.
Don't watch the game. What do you want me to tell you? The three of you guys, talk about wet blankets.
Well, no one's being a wet blanket, but I mean, the way you took me down, you cut me down at the knees, I almost just resigned.
You said, is it a good game? So you don't think Kansas City, Detroit, Thursday, September 7th is a good game?
Well, I don't mean it was a good game. I mean, yeah, is it?
I think it's quite literally a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's not.
All right, don't watch it.
No, of course.
No, really. See, no, really.
Why are you being a jerk?
Why not put it was either the Texans or the Lions, and they went with the Lions.
No, I'll give you Kansas City's home opponents this year. Okay,
you ready? Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, Denver, obviously. You got the Chargers, Raiders.
Yeah,
Bills.
Know the division. We know they play the division.
Okay, Bengals, Dolphins, Bears, Lions, Eagles.
All right.
Obvious one would have been the Eagles.
Why not the Bears? Why not the Bears? I mean, you're making this sound like they're playing the Houston Texans on September 7th.
No one's saying that. But if you're asking me who I would have, like, the top three teams I would have picked to be in this game, it wouldn't include the Lions in the top three.
Lions had no primetime games last season.
Yeah, great. That's fine. And they're a team on the... That feels like they could win the division this year.
You want to hear what my buddy just texted me?
What?
No, you're going to want to hear this. This is going to be good for you. He said, what a terrible take by you based on how you absolutely massacred Rick.
See? Who's your buddy?
I'm not telling you.
Send me his number. I want to text him. Thank you.
No, I'm not telling you that.
I'm getting it from Bruce Beck.
You're getting what from Bruce Beck?
He's chirping me now.
Well, he should be chirping you.
Is it a good game? LOL. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it might be one of the worst questions you've ever asked.
RJ, you know what I meant, didn't you, when I said good game?
Oh, here we go. Now RJ's supposed to read into your psyche of what kind of questions you're asking?
RJ knew what I meant.
Listen, I have your back. I can't completely absolve you. Not
as
way.
You're nibbling on a pastry.
Very good pastry.
Yeah. Just remember who brought you that pastry.
I just said it. I'm not going to completely absolve Rick. Probably. And he said it in real time. One of his worst questions, if not the worst. But he caught it. And I think you crushed him a little. You're a little heavy. That's all.
Heavy-handed on that?
Just a little. You're excited to watch the Lions. You.
I believe this Lions team is a playoff team.
Can I tell you something about you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand your recent the teams you've latched onto as of late. You're high on the Lions. You're very high for.
Wait,
some
you don't
reason.
Understand why I'm high on the Lions?
You're high on the Maple Leafs. Down 3-0. Well, now 3-1.
Yeah. So.
I just think you're in an interesting place.
So you think I've gone off the deep end, is what you think?
You're vulnerable.
You've become hot take Johnny, is what's happening.
That's exactly who he is.
Wow.
Good call, Raymond.
Wow.
I want my pastry back.
It's hot take Johnny!
It's in my stomach. I don't know what you're going to
I'm going to take Rick's foam finger. I'm going to dig it out of there.
No,
I want the pastry back. You know what? I brought it for you out of love. I thought you deserve some sweets today, and the way you're treating me, I want it back. I'll check for polyps is what I'll do with my foam finger.
Yeah, I mean, that's aggressive.
You're nasty.
Now, what I will say, I also got a pastry. I do not think you're a hot take, Johnny. I would like... I think we should do...
You'd like to keep your pastry?
We should do pastry, like pastry Fridays once a month or something. Pastry Thursdays.
Which means you guys bring in pastries for us.
I think we can rotate, yeah.
No, no. I'm happy once a week to bring you delicious pastries.
No, once a week's too much. I'll die. But once a month is nice.
Then once a month. You just had May's pastry of the month. Maybe I bring a jelly-filled pastry in June. You don't know what I'll do.
Pastry of the month.
And I didn't bring in the old stuff. This is fresh, beautiful stuff.
I was complimenting you. You take a shot at me.
Sorry.
You know what, though? I can tell there was a difference between the day-old, the half-day-old bagels and the very fresh pastries.
Very fresh pastries.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I think it is? And I hate to
Let me guess.
What?
It's that you're a visionary and we're not. Let me guess.
That's to a T, that's what I was going to say.
Of course.
I look at the future and I can see things coming down the road.
No, don't act like you're the only one that sees Detroit's going to be good.
It feels like it the way I'm being treated right now on the show.
No. I'll tell you, this is the best way to put it, because Bruce Beck is just some taking scuds from Bruce Beck right now.
Bruce Beck, elite, by the way.
Elite, as elite. He's on his way to get his golf clubs fitted. So he said this. He said, good question. No, absolutely not. Terrible question. But he said, if you picked up the phone and called, if it was whoever, like your football buddies, and said, hey, did you hear the Chiefs are hosting the Lions to open up the NFL season? They're like, good game. They're not falling off their chairs. Great game.
I'm falling off my chair.
No, you're not. You're
full of it. You know, when I saw the report, I actually fell out of my chair onto the floor because I'm such a professional, was able to continue with the show. No. Oh, boy! Oh, boy!
No, now you'll defend this to the death.
I hope to God this is like 41-40. Campbell goes for two at the final buzzer, and we come in the next day, September the 8th or 9th or whatever it is, and you're like, that was one of the great games I've seen in recent memory.
Whippy-doo.
You won't even say it. You are now going to take the tact of you want that game to be a stinker.
No, I don't think it's going to be a stinker. I mean, Detroit had one of the best offenses in the NFL last year.
Oh, well whippy-doo, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'm saying, what makes a matchup sexy? It's Patrick Mahomes going up against Justin Herbert or Josh Allen or a Super Bowl rematch.
I will play your game, and I will admit to you that Josh Allen and the Bills against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs would be a sexier game.
How about Tyreek Hill in the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, I think this is a very sexy game.
It's not the sexiest game, though.
It's not the Christy Brinkley of sexiness, but it's still, it's an Amon. It's a very sexy game.
Yeah, of course. It's nice.
This is not nice. This is sexy.
All right.
There's some leg.
I think there's some. And I'm a big leg guy. Leg and buttocks.
Well, who's not?
Well, there's some people looking for other things.
It sounds like you with this game poo-pooed the sexiness.
No, this is maybe for me. It's more of a chesty game, and I'm not a big chesty guy.
You know? Which is obscene. When I'm on the interwebs moving forward, and I see more games revealed to me, I'm probably not going to bring them to your attention.
No,
the
stop.
Rest of the morning. No, I'm probably not going to, because I don't know what's a sexy game, what's not a sexy game.
I think you do know.
To me, this is sexy.
No. Okay. You know what? Forget it.
You know what? To me, this is 30-year-old Salma Hayek is what this is. This is a sexy game.
Santiago, no. There's no chance, because Santiago loves Salma Hayek. He would not put this as a Salma Hayek game. Ha ha.
Raymond, what's the sex appeal to this game?
It's not a Salma Hayek game.
No?
It's not.
Is it a J-Lo game?
Well, how dare you put that as a J-Lo game?
What do you mean?
J-Lo's a smoke show.
Smoke show.
Yeah, that's not. This is not J-Lo.
So what do you think? What is it, a Katie Couric? What is this to you?
No, it's not a Katie Couric.
That's the way you're making it sad. You're making me feel like this is like a Blanche Devereaux game.
No, stop. Stop yourself.
Let's go to Paul and no, I'm not going to Paul. I'm going to Brian and Patterson. I like him better. Good morning, Brian.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Nobody wants to see Detroit, by the way.
Oh my.
But anyway, about Randall.
You're gonna change your tune. You're gonna get to September 30th to be like, boy, these Lions are something.
I hope so, but can we name three players on the Lions right now?
It could be worse, though. At least we're not Detroit.
No, we don't know any Lions players
right
now.
We're not Detroit.
None.
Dave has no idea who's on Detroit.
Back to Randall. I think the three reasons why Knicks fans don't like him is because he's a fake tough guy. His teammates try to restrain him. He gets tough with them, wants to fight them. He doesn't take it out on other players on the court, basically. He's just a fake tough guy. Number two, Tibbs can't control him. Tibbs rips these players on the court, curses them out, says nothing to Randall while the game's going on. Three, Obi Toppin, when he's in the game, the ball moves, more athletic, and things happen when Obi's in the game. The ball stalls when Randall's on the court, and just a different game. So those are my three reasons.
I don't think you're crazy.
It's a different game. I don't think you're wrong. It's definitely a different game, and then last night's game called for, you know, an injection of energy, and Obi brought it. But Obi Toppin is not a better player than Julius Randle.
No. You think there are people that really think that Obi Toppin is better than Julius Randle?
I think he does.
That's craziness.
I mean, I think he does.
Now, that's crazy you think that. Now, you could say the energy that he brought yesterday changed the face of the game, and getting Julius Randle out was important at that moment. But to sit here and tell me that Randle is not, a far superior player to Obi Toppin is stupid, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not a great...
It's stupid.
Not a great call.
Let's go to Chaim in the car. Good morning, Chaim.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're doing great.
How was that pronunciation? Great. How was that pronunciation?
Honestly, how did I get the
it was excellent. it was an excellent pronunciation.
Thank you.
Really fantastic. Well done, and I appreciate it very much. Not so simple.
I'm a linguist.
You are, indeed. I think you're a Hebrew master, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
So I just want to talk about Randall and Brunson in the sense of you guys announcing this morning. I didn't hear about the all NBA teams, but in my eyes, Brunson's the more exciting player. The intangibles, he just brings something that he does not, that, you know, that with Julius it just doesn't happen. I'm not sure what it is, but as a basketball fan, when you have Brunson has the ball, you just feel much more confident than you do when Randall has the ball. I think that's as simple as that.
Of course. I mean, I think it's clear that Jalen Brunson is your most important player.
He's your best player and your most important player.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy. He's the leader of the team. I think sometimes it feels like Julius cares about Julius. And when Julius doesn't shoot well or he can't get it going, he pouts, and that rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, and his body language can be really questionable at times.
Right. That's part of it. The body language is part of it. But I also think that in New York, when you're not a homegrown player, because you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, is that the first impression is important. And the first impression of Julius Randle that first year was not good.
It was not good, but then it rebounded into being elite, and then it fell back again, and now it's back up. You know, it's kind of a seesaw with this guy, too.
But it's a seesaw with a bunch of players like that. I mean, same thing with Stanton.
Well, you see how Stanton is treated here.
Right. And he's carried you in the playoffs, but it doesn't matter. First sign of him struggling, people go right back to not liking him. So it makes it tough here, man. That's why I think
it's a tough place.
Yeah, Julius got a taste of that last season. He didn't like it. Because they went from chanting MVP, he'd have that unbelievable season, they're the fourth seed, to all of a sudden starting to struggle, and the fan base booing him and turning on him.
And they'll turn on you.
Yeah.
If they feel like you've not lived up to what they expected you to be. No Blue Check P says, you made it sound like you're breaking news on a hell of a game to start the season. It's a decent game. Detroit's going to be pretty good. They won't be all that good in week one. You guessed it. KC wins by 10. Now, Rick's question of is it a good game? Very fair and very understandable.
No, I still stand by. It was not a good question. I did not word it properly. I didn't mean good.
And even so, it's even though you guys are poo-pooing the game, it's still a good game.
No, it's going to be a good. Listen, I think Detroit's going to be a good team.
Is Detroit a playoff team?
Yes.
Okay. So this.
I could see Detroit. I mean, I would probably right now pick Detroit to win the division. If you press me on it.
Yeah, I think that division is wide open though.
But did you hear what they said about Green Bay? They're preaching patience with Jordan Love.
Oh yeah.
That didn't sound like there's a whole hell of a lot of confidence.
I think he's going to be decent.
Yeah, I do too. But I think, I mean, you saw what Detroit's offense looked like last year.
Their offensive line is unbelievable.
Right, they got a good offensive line. St. Brown is an awesome wide receiver.
Yep.
Jared Goff is good.
I find it curious what they did with DeAndre Swift.
He's hurt all the time.
But they love this kid. Is it Gibbs? Is that his name?
From Alabama?
Yeah, they love him.
Well, because he's more of this is the new thing now. Is that they're not framing it as a running back.
He's a hybrid?
Yeah, he's a weapon. He's an offensive weapon.
Well, good for them. Let's go to Paul in Bergen. Good morning, Paul. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Rick, I can't believe you didn't check Dave for the traumatic brain injury you gave him yesterday after that answer. And yesterday was James Worthy and today Detroit Lions. I immediately thought Cincinnati, probably, maybe a rematch for the Super Bowl, but Detroit,
You know what it is? Here's what it is.
James Worthy?
Here's what it is. You guys live in the past and you're not capable of looking forward and seeing the things that I'm capable of seeing.
No, I don't think it's that at all.
No, without putting too much praise on myself, I'm like a visionary, and you guys are stuck in the mud. And I'm leading the tribe. I'm like, oh, I found a new people that they didn't know existed. And you guys are like, oh, we just want the same old Mayans that we've been dealing with for a thousand years.
Oh my goodness,
is what it is.
No, I think I worded the question improperly. I should have said, is it the sexiest game?
And the answer to that would have been no. It's not the sexiest game. But it's a sexy game.
Yeah, because you've now chosen to take Detroit on as one of your teams.
You know what? I have.
That's fine. I like Detroit, too.
I think they're going to be a fun team. I think they can score a million points. And I think that by the end of the season, they're going to be one of the teams that people say, oh, I want to see more Lions.
Yeah, but why would I just ask you? I said I would pick them in the division. That's wide open. I don't know.
It is wide open.
Well, I have some conviction.
Well, I don't feel like that right now. I think Detroit's going to be a double-digit win team, and I could see Chicago being good. I could see Minnesota. Minnesota won, what, 13 games last year?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. How did Minnesota look when you guys beat them up in the playoffs?
Did I say, people are tweeting me now saying that I said that DeAndre Swift is on the Lions. I did not say that.
No, that they traded him.
I get a tweet. You're a Giants fan. You don't know that Swift is now on the Eagles? Yeah, of course I know
that.
That's not what I said. Did I say that?
No. You said you were interested.
I'm surprised they moved on from him.
Right, and they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs.
Exactly.
And they also signed David Montgomery.
They sure did. And they still have the running back that used to be with the Packers, right?
No.
No?
No, he's not with
them. Oh, that's right. He left. Yeah, I don't know what they did at running back.
And then Jameson Williams got himself suspended.
He's suspended for 6 games, right?
Yeah, because this is all over the place now, man.
You see it in the MLS now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get to that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Last night felt like bigger than a game two of the Major League Baseball regular season, Rick. I was very upset in the Mets' first inning. Verlander did not look great, and I had just visions of this thing spiraling out of control. But he is one of the all-time greats for a reason, and he rebounded and then some, and the Mets find their way to a 2-1 victory over the Reds last night.
Yeah, Pete, another home run. Nimmo, big go-ahead two-out hit to put them in the lead. But yeah, I mean, it's for me right now, and I know I joked about it, that this was opening day, and I was going to kind of forget what had happened earlier in the season just because we're finally getting our pitching, our rotation kind of back together. But Well, that's what they say about a great pitcher, right? Is if you're going to get to him, try to get to him early because he's only going to get better as he settles in.
And he sure did.
That's exactly what Verlander did.
Oh, he was great last night. But that first inning, he was not. You thought to yourself, he's not going to last all that long, and they're going to have to score runs. And after that first inning, he was, I mean, lights out. He was elite.
Yeah, well, he retired 18 of the last 19 he faced. And then, I mean, that's how you script it, though, right? Is he gives you seven.
Yep, and then you go Ottavino, and then you go Robertson, and nice and tidy, you're done.
Nice, tidy win. Boom, boom. Thanks for coming. And it's a game you had to win because, I mean, it's unacceptable. We're at the point where it's unacceptable to be losing to bad teams the way that they're losing to bad teams.
You're 100% right. And again, they're right. And now, I don't know what happens, but within striking distance of being okay. I haven't seen, I looked, I didn't see. Do we know who's starting for the Mets today?
It's supposed to be Senga.
Yeah, but it says TBD everywhere I've looked.
Senga's, it says for the Mets TBD?
Yeah.
Because last time I checked yesterday, it was Senga against for the Reds TBD.
Yeah, no, I've seen TBD, so Senga would be great, but I hope that's the case. Yeah, I'm looking. Oh, yep, it's Senga against Derek Law, whoever that is. Now they just updated it. So that you like that matchup. You win two out of three, and then you go to Washington. You see Scherzer still could not throw the ball yesterday, even have a catch.
Yeah, he tried. Yeah, it's a real, it's a tough neck spasm.
Yeah. So I guess he's in one right now. Let's hear from Justin Verlander. How'd you feel out there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, felt more normal for sure. I still kind of making some mechanical adjustments, trying to find my timing and everything. Kind of made a few little minor tweaks during game, especially there in the third inning that I felt all of a sudden like felt right and just kind of went from there and kept that feel.
So he's going to be fine. You're not worried about him at all, right?
No, at this point, no.
So is your big concern with the Mets right now, Max Scherzer?
Max Scherzer is the biggest concern in what Verlander looks like maybe at the end of the season, in the most important part of the season. I'm not worried about him now, no.
But you like of all the things that there are to worry about, and there are things, right? Offensively, they go quiet, and Scherzer and the injury and his lack of availability, and when he's pitched, he hasn't been great. Like, of all the things, current Verlander is not on the table.
No, it's not on the table. Yeah. Absolutely not.
And you can't worry about him in September now, right?
No, I'm not worried about him in September, no.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good. So the really your big concern is, you know what's frustrating to me, though? Can you score some runs, please?
It would be nice to score some runs. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are starting to break out now and scoring a ton of runs. So yeah, it would be nice to get the lineup going.
It's not exactly like you're taking on the 88 Dodgers.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. Look what they... Okay, so Yankees over their last four games, I mean, they scored 35 runs, but last nine games, they've had 17 home runs. Even last night, you know, Bader home run, LeMahieu, Volpe. But that lineup has the capability of doing that. The problem with the Mets lineup is they really don't. The guy who's going to hit the home runs is Pete. And you're hoping Lindor chips in too, but that's really it.
Yeah, but Lindor's not a home run hitter.
Right, they don't have another home run hitter. Unless Alvarez can establish himself as that. That's not who Vogelbach is.
It's a lot to ask for him. Here's the thing with Vogelbach. I'm sorry. He's just not good. Forget about home run hitter or not. Every time he steps to the plate now, it pains me.
Yeah, I think the time for Daniel Vogelbach has passed for most Mets fans. I don't think you're on an island with that take.
Like, I see that trending in the direction of he's going to be the Mets version of maybe a better version, but of Aaron Hicks at some point.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think it's far off.
Yeah, but Aaron Hicks, too. You take in the inability to hit, and then you add it with all of a sudden the deterioration of his defense where he's letting balls that are fair just drop.
Well, no, he's not a very good player right now, and it seems like he's in his own head. But I'm between Canna and Vogelbach, and you said it yesterday. When can I see? If you're not scoring runs and you're not producing, and I have guys in the minor leagues that are literally tearing the cover off the ball, at what point can I see those guys?
Right. I mean, listen, Vogie had a couple hits last night, but I mean, it's not, is he the long-term answer for what you're trying to do here and trying to win a championship? Absolutely not. And I stand by what I said yesterday. I mean, the reason why you send young players down usually is A, they're not ready and you don't feel like they're ready, or B, you already feel like you have a better veteran option, which they thought, you know, was the case at third base. So they sent Beatty down, Escobar, they want to give him, you know, he's a pro's pro, well-respected, we'll give him some time. If he can't figure it out, then we'll make the change. I think Canna's had plenty of time, and I think we know what Vogelbach is, and you got these kids that you tell, hey, listen, we want you to go down, We want you to play great. I'll never forget, I had a conversation with Peter Laviolette like that. He sent me and, like, we ended up shuttling, like, back and forth. It was painful, but he sent me and Teddy Donato down. And he said to us, or he said to me, he goes, you know, go down there and play great because, you know, you want to prove to people that you deserve to be back. Like, that's what they tell you is go down, play great, and, you know, it's a meritocracy. If you play great and show us that you should be up here and you deserve to be here, you'll get that opportunity. Well, I mean, what do you think Ronnie Mauricio and Mark Vientos are saying?
What more could they do? Hit 500?
Yeah, like, but then, right. I mean, what else do you need us to do?
Yeah, what, I mean, what do you want these guys to do? By the way, and I don't know if you feel like this, it's time for Starling Marte to wake up from this slumber.
They need him. He's very important to this team.
I mean, you've buried him. What did he hit last night? Six?
Yeah, he's six again.
And he went 0-for-4 again? It's time.
Yeah, well, I think we all understand how important he is. That's really their, I mean, their recipe, if they're going to have success, is the top of their rotation, and it's going to be the top of their lineup.
That's right. So you got to get a good outing from Senga, and then hopefully Scherzer's going to go over the weekend, and you play Washington, who's not the pushover that you thought they might be. I mean, they're not great, but they're not awful. And then you come home for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing this is not a playoff team, but it's definitely still a team that has some...
They have holes.
Some glaring holes.
which honestly is embarrassing.
For the amount of money they're spending?
That you're spending. What's their salary?
Oh,
it's in the 300s, right?
Yeah.
That you're spending $300+ million and your team has gaping holes?
Yeah, but the funny part is we went into the season after they spent all that money saying to ourselves that they had still had some gaping holes.
But the amazing thing to me is when you look at this team...
$346 million.
They should have so many guys that are making no money.
They are making...
like Alonso doesn't make money. Beatty doesn't make money. Alvarez doesn't make money.
Okay, hold on. Time out. Yeah, you're right. Those guys don't make money. But Scherzer makes 43. Verlander makes 43. Lindor makes 34. Marte makes 20. Nimmo makes 18.5. Senga makes 15.
Now, by the way, you signed Marte to a four-year deal? I like him too, but a four-year
deal?
He's
a free agent. Well, he had other options.
All right. Listen, all I'm saying is I question Billy Epler tremendously right now.
I think we all question Billy Epler right now.
So I need to see some proof before I start to give him any credit. This is, what, year two for Marte?
Yeah, but he was great last year.
He was great last year. And how about Canna? He looked good to you?
Well, you got to remember, too, that he had the double groin surgeries, too.
He did.
Maybe it takes him a minute to
And it
get
feels
back.
Like Marte's always on the verge of missing time.
He's a sports car, man. He's a specimen.
Yeah, he really, really is. 1-800-919-3776. Here's what I say. We sneak in a Knicks call, and then we get to observations and did it happen in Florida. Let's, you know who we can hear from who's going to be in such a good mood? He calls you a hardball. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning,
he's
Omar.
A hardball.
Yeah, you are. Good morning, Omar.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, thank God they won, and I want to appreciate Tom Thibodeau. He made the thing after the first quarter, Obi Toppin. But the reality of this is there is two or three things that I want to... Julius Randle is a more talented guy, everybody knows, than Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin is loved by the Knicks fan because they drafted him, and they went on a 15-tour. They run, the ball moved faster. But when he came on the third quarter for the second time, he had two turnovers, and they went. The Miami went on an 8-2 run, and he took him out. But people don't remember whenever our drafted player does something bad, people don't mention them. But when Julius Randle do something, a bad turnover, everybody has to mention it. So, people, calm down. Brunson is there. Julius Randle, yes, I have a problem that when he switches on a defensive end and then he raises his hand that that other guy has to switch, then nobody knows that the other guy has to switch, and he blames the other person all the time, and they get a wide open three. I have a problem with that. Somebody, the hardball, Rick said it right. Somebody has to sit and put him right. Like, he can understand... Ricky's 100%. That's why I call him a hardball, because he plays professional hockey and he knows how to get into the mentality. Well, what is he? A hardball. Tell me honestly, hardball. Do you think the Knicks are winning on Friday? Give me the Friday. I'll give you Monday night. Give me Friday night. Give me a guarantee on Friday night. I'll give you a guarantee Game 7.
You're going to guarantee a Game 7 win?
If you give me Game 6 guarantee, I'll give you Game 7 guarantee.
All right, I'm not giving you a Game 6 guarantee. Rick, you're a hardball. You want to give him a Game 6 guarantee?
I can tell you this. I'll tell you this. I can't give a guarantee, but I'll say this. If you can keep Jimmy Butler under 25 points, I like your chances. Statistically, this postseason, when he scores 25-plus, they're 6-0. When he scores 25 or less, they're 1-2.
All right.
And last night was one of those nights.
So contain Jimmy Butler. I got I'm on the dark interwebs. I got more information.
Yes.
You want it? RJ, you might want this.
San go
Francisco
ahead.
Related.
Oh, boy! Oh, boy! I like RJ. Go ahead. Niners-Eagles.
Is this December something? Early December?
December 3rd.
I heard rumblings of this.
Week 13, 4:25 Eastern on Fox.
That's a nice game.
That's a... It's a sexy game.
Yeah, it's almost like Kansas City, Detroit.
I will say, does it take away some of the sexiness of San Francisco? I'm too close to it, I think, because they don't have that quarterback shine.
No. I mean, maybe for the...
No, I think Brock Purdy's a fun story, though. I think people like that story.
Yeah, but I mean, the way they play football is the way it's meant to be played. I enjoy watching the Niners.
Debo Samuel is watching Debo Samuel play is sexy, and Christian McCaffrey.
That defense is sexy.
And Nick Bosa.
But I don't. Clearly, I don't know what makes for sexy matchups.
No, I think you do. I think you wanted to take that opportunity to really just go after me.
I have another little interweb note that I've just stumbled upon. Oh, boy! Oh, boy! Let me confirm that I'm seeing this accurately. Looks like, in fact, I am. Christmas Day matchup number 2. Raiders-Chiefs. What is that?
That wasn't me. I didn't press
it. What was that?
That was must have been Santiago.
Why'd you press that?
Meant to be the other one. Sorry.
You pressed the wrong button?
Hit the wrong one.
Okay. I was like, I thought maybe my deep dark work was being thrown in my face. But yeah, Raiders-Chiefs Christmas Day matchup in addition to the Giants and the Eagles. It's all happening. I'm finding out so much stuff.
Can I ask a silly question? Can I ask a silly question?
Yeah, hardball.
And you can't take football out of it. But I would like you to try to just to kind of take football out of it. If you could be one professional football right player right now in their current situation, who would you be?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think that's the easy answer. How would you like to be Jimmy G in Vegas?
I don't think that's bad. Yeah,
Jimmy G.
I don't think that's bad. I mean, Joe Burrow pretty good too.
Oh yeah, but Joe Burrow's in Cincinnati though. I mean, just a Jimmy G loose in Vegas.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You're not kidding. That's a lot. RJ?
Yes.
It's your time.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
This is a knob.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed up to begin with.
This.
I have you. I don't even know how to play football, all right?
He's also a knob.
That's a clown question, bro.
And these are knobservations.
Ah, that they are. You know what I used to hear about Jimmy? Not that I'm plugged in like Dave. I don't have moles everywhere, but just, you know, my hovering of the situation.
Yeah.
He would just disappear for months.
Yeah, and like, when they couldn't even get a hold of him.
No, people would text him, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, hey, Dad, Jimmy, that... No response.
He wasn't around? They couldn't find him?
No response. Listen, he's not their child, but they lose...
He doesn't want to be on a leash.
They'd lose track of him
Or maybe he does.
That's why he's in Vegas. But they would lose track of him for months during the offseason at a time.
I'm comfortable enough to tell you I find him to be handsome.
Oh, of course.
I think he's well recognized as one of the most handsome in the NFL.
Very handsome.
Woohoo! Over here! So you mentioned the Niners. A nice segue. So over the weekend, I was reading an article about Debo Samuel, who you mentioned, Dave.
Rick mentioned him.
Rick, sorry. So he talked to Complex. He gave them an interview. And listen, I'm not going to try and defend this. He's not done yet talking about the Eagles. It's been almost 3 months. He's not done yet. this quote too complex. We lost because we played with 10 people. I ain't going to keep talking about them, even though that's what he's doing. And what would have happened, but it would have been a different outcome if we were healthy.
I don't think he's wrong.
I don't think he's wrong either, but it's been 3 months.
He can't let it go.
I can't let it go. But at the same time, at some point, don't you kind of let it go?
He can't.
No, you'll never. He'll always remember that.
Are you kidding me? This the Giants games, I'll never let go. Ever, no, ever.
I get that, but you, well.
30 years later.
Yeah, but
they wrote a song about that, you know, Dave.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah. The 88 game against the Rams when Flipper Anderson ran through the end zone and they called that pass interference from Bernie Kuker, the referee. I can't let that go.
Oh, Bernie.
Ugh.
So
what are the chances, seriously, what are the chances that all your quarterbacks get hurt in the same game?
I don't know, but it happened. Literally happened.
Yeah, but once Purdy went down, that game was over.
Of course it was. Josh Johnson. I just sat there and stewed for 3.5 quarters.
That really was like being a prisoner.
So I didn't go to that game. I was close on multiple avenues of going to that game. I saw this.
Mike Tenenbaum completely crapped the bed with that, remember?
He could care less about me.
No.
I don't blame him. So, Tottenham. This is one of those random soccer stadiums in Europe where the NFL games are played, right? When they go over there. I saw this a couple of weeks ago. I've been hanging on to this. This seems like the proper conversation to plug it in. So, they lost very, very badly to Newcastle.
Tottenham.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 6-1. They give up 5 goals in the first 21 minutes.
Wow.
Really, really bad.
Sounds like the Devils.
So, what the relevant part of this is, the players on Tottenham, some of the players, said they were so embarrassed by the loss, they actually wanted to reimburse the cost of fans that traveled from out of the area, and that was like the one game. Like we talk about with the NBA, right? You can afford to go to one game, the star player doesn't play. Well, people that could afford to go to the game traveled, saw a bludgeoning at the hands of Newcastle, and actually they were reaching out via the team and email, social media, and wanted to apologize and for proof of ticket and travel, they were reimbursing some fans.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How is this an observation? This seems like a great thing that they did.
No, it is.
Oh, okay.
So my question to, I think this is fun for all of us to answer. What is the one game you've
the Super Bowl
been
35
to that you would
I want my money back now.
You would demand reimbursement from your knobbish team that you were supporting.
Super Bowl 35.
Is that the loan game?
That's the loan game,
10,
yeah.
10 grand.
Yeah.
How did it change your life? That game send you on your
yeah
your
my current journey.
Stripper?
Yeah, but it's still painful. You should have seen me.
I could
way back.
Money well spent though.
No, it wasn't. You should have seen me on the way back. We're on the flight, hit turbulence.
Oh no!
Pilot's like, listen, buckle your seatbelts. It's gonna be a bumpy ride. I was like, just take it down.
Oh.
I was like, it doesn't even matter at this point.
That's not good.
No. You must be a real treat to sit next to
him. After my team loses the Super Bowl, which has happened once in my life, yeah. See, I have a disorder.
You really do. How long did it take you to pay that back with interest, that 10 grand?
Years.
Mm. Well, you...
anyone else have a game like that?
No, because they're not fans. I'm a fan.
No one on the show is taking out a loan to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, you know what? Whose fault is that?
I guess our fault.
And yeah. That's why.
Because you don't need
the
a loan.
Lost that Super Bowl. I made that life decision and said I'm breaking up with the stripper.
Right. You don't need a loan. You would just have money, an influx of money. Nobody? Nobody else is going to play?
No, I'll play. I guess you could give me my money back for going to the game, but it was such an awesome experience. But the one that pisses me off the most, because I was at it, was when Terry Collins let Matt go back out for the 9th inning.
You didn't buy a ticket.
I know.
I mean, the question is, what game have you spent money on
to be fair,
that you'd like to be reimbursed for? You want your money back for a game you were given a ticket.
To be
yeah,
fair.
But I've never got the time. Can I get a time ticket?
He's been essentially sports royalty since he was 19 years old, 18 years old.
Even before that, probably.
He probably hasn't paid.
When was the last time you bought yourself a ticket to a game?
Oh, I think he buys tickets.
Yeah, I buy tickets. I bought tickets to the Mets game, but it's not like a Mets game that's so important that I would want my money back.
Let's be honest, though. If we could press that button and also get those doors opened, 100%.
100%. Yeah. Ray, you have one?
No.
Boy, you really
you
are.
You are not bringing much to the table.
My God.
I think you guys have broken him. I'm not going to hold this against him.
He was great for the open, and now he's done.
He's completely mailed it in.
I don't think he likes you, do you?
No, I think that's obvious.
This one, I guess, more on the serious side. Oh, Bob Huggins. So he says a thing you really shouldn't say on radio in West Virginia. What's troubling is that went out over the air.
It was Ohio, I think.
Oh, was it Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was West Virginia. So the number of people that has to get by to get on the air, I think it was podcasted too. Not great.
They put it on the podcast?
I could be
oh
wrong.
Oh, my God.
And don't hold me to that. So the school says, the school being West Virginia, that his anti-gay slur, it was unfairly and inappropriately hurting many people. It's tarnished West Virginia University. How much, you ask? There's no price on that, right? Hurting people emotionally? Oh, well, there is. So here is the punishment handed down. He will sit out the first three games, of which West Virginia is probably playing directional schools that you've never heard of. He will have his contract amended from a multi-year deal to a year-by-year agreement. And he will undergo sensitivity training with a donation to Xavier University, whom he was making fun of.
They really, really punished him here, huh?
So I think I heard Bomani Jones say this, and it's true. Anyone else at that university that does anything wrong, essentially, verbally, unless you punch someone, I get it. How do you get rid of anyone?
You can't.
Yeah, you just point to this and say, oh, well, let's just amend my work status.
I mean, basically what they're telling you is Bob Huggins can do whatever it is that he wants to do or say.
He's 69 years old, too. So if you were kind of looking for a transitionary time, this would be your moment.
They will never get rid of him.
Who wants to transition away from the 69?
We will transition to the next story, though.
Really?
Yeah.
After that winning line?
Jake Paul and Nate Diaz, they're going to fight.
Don't we have like some MMA fighter in next week?
Scheduling discussions ongoing. Possibly, but not likely.
Okay.
But at some point, yes.
He's going to kick you right in the face.
What do you mean? Possibly, not likely, but at some point, yes.
Well, we're working on a schedule for next week. I don't think next week's going to happen. Possibly in the coming weeks after that. I did see a disturbing thing in the group chat, though.
What?
When John Winthrop asked if we wanted to have a UFC fighter with it. Who's on an upcoming card in studio, and Rick said he wanted him to choke you out.
Yeah, well, of course he did.
I got choked out.
Well, why would I want to be choked out?
Hang on! Oh, my goodness.
Hang on! Jeez. You are listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN WEPN-FM in New York.
You're like a verbal bus.
Oh, boy! At least John Winthrop lives a life that you can respect. He says, the Marino fake spike game. Want my money back.
Oh, he didn't pay for those tickets. He said it.
He said, or at least my dad's money.
Yeah,
yeah, but
right.
He was a little kid. He's not going to pay for the tickets, but at least he has a game where he can play. Ray, do you have one? No. RJ,
no,
nothing.
No, I could have brought up the game where my dad got taken by some scalper, and we were sitting next to a giant. You couldn't even see the ice. That wasn't great.
You're behind a pole?
No, it was obstructed seating. He didn't realize it was obstructed seating.
It on the tickets, obstructed.
Well, come on. Yeah, no kidding. And then we got up there, and there was this big, giant cement pillar in front of the seat.
RJ, how about the Super Bowl that you went to with the Chiefs and the Niners?
Well, that would be it. I didn't pay for those tickets.
Yeah, but you paid for the trip.
Yeah, I paid for the trip. It was horrifying. I would say in the last 5 or 6 years, I've had definitively almost, barring something wild in my life, the worst sports moment viewed in person and the best. It's going to be hard to top either.
What was the best?
Derek Jeter's last game at Yankee Stadium.
And what was the worst?
The Super Bowl. Seeing your team lose the championship, it literally doesn't get worse.
Yeah, it's very bad. Especially when you feel like it's right there for you.
It was right there.
That's what I'm saying.
Literally 10 points.
I agree.
And if they played 10 more minutes, we'd have lost by 20, 30. I don't know. Chiefs would have never stopped scoring. Where was I? Jake Paul and Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
They're going to fight in a boxing match. On August 5th in Dallas.
Nate Diaz is an MMA guy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to fight in a boxing match August 5th. And much like they do, they were doing the pre-fight press. And this happened while Jake Paul was talking.
Excited to put on a massive event and the pre-signups. Is this man leaving?
He said he's just going to the restroom and he'll be right back.
Jesus Christ. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm sure it's a work of some sort, but I enjoyed seeing Nate Diaz get up mid-sentence and walk off the stage.
He had to go to the bathroom.
He doesn't care. RJ, before you steamroll me at some point with did it happen in Florida, I also have an observations I'd like to add.
Oh,
at some point.
I like that.
This is big. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm good. It's my turn now?
Yeah.
You're done, RJ?
No, I don't. It seemed like it was time to go to Rick.
No, I just didn't want to make sure because usually you just go to did it happen in Florida, and I don't want to get steamrolled.
We were getting there.
I know. I felt like we were closing in on it. So remember a couple days ago I had mentioned to you that my nephew is in town from Tampa.
And he wears very short shorts.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
So he just thinks like Uncle Rick doesn't know that the shorty shorts are in right now. And he stands by him. Short shorts all day, every day, around the house. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you right now, if you make a quick movement and something pops out, you're done. You're out. Nope. Still the short shorts. So I take him golfing yesterday.
Oh no.
Okay.
So I sent him
early on purpose. I said to him, because it took me a while to get back from the city yesterday. I said to him, because he's like, I haven't played in a couple weeks. I need to hit balls. So I said, okay, your aunt's going to take you to the course early. You hit some balls, and then I'll meet you there before the tee time. So me and Cass's dad show up.
Right. His aunt took him early?
Yeah. No, it's his aunt.
Oh.
So my wife, Cassie.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes him. He hits balls and everything else. So I pull up with Cass's dad. We were walking in with our golf bags. And as we look up.
Oh, no.
We notice.
Oh, no.
That my nephew isn't wearing the same outfit that he showed up to the golf course with. It's a completely different outfit.
Please tell me they asked him to change.
Not only did they ask him to change, they said, we will not allow you to play golf unless you get new shorts that are a respectable length.
Unbelievable. Now, let me ask you this. Is he horrified by this, or is he just, like, matter of fact?
He's a hardball.
No, he stands by that the shorts weren't too short, and he should have been allowed to play in them.
I mean, he
sounds
was
like he's proud.
Told by a golf community that what he's wearing is inappropriate.
I'm like, why do you have clothes with, like, the golf course's logo on them? He's like, they told me that I had to change or I couldn't play.
Did they make him buy them or did they give it to him?
No, I didn't give them to him. My buddy Brian actually got them for him because he was there with him.
Unbelievable.
I said, I told you, man. You think I'm just messing with you? Your shorts are too short.
Obviously, they're too short. But also, when you go golfing, you're not supposed to be wearing, like, shorts like that.
Like Daisy Dukes like that?
Yeah, probably. No.
No, you can't wear cargo shorts. Yeah,
exactly.
I try to explain. He's like, well, in Florida, I wear them. I was like, why?
You know what? In Florida. You know, and that's a beautiful transition because anything goes in Florida.
That's how we do it when you're real in Florida.
All right, got the visual on the male. He is naked, doing push-ups at the entrance of the food store here.
Did it happen in Florida?
Because there ain't no better place in the world to live than right here, dude. It should be a two-drink minimum anywhere you walk in.
Come on vacation, leave on probation.
And you will come back on violation.
Before we get to Did It Happen in Florida, I'd like to let you know this portion of the show is driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. RJ?
All right. Well, thank you. So, unfortunately, a person in a place has their car stolen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not good. You need a car. Report the car stolen to the police. A couple of days go by. Hasn't heard anything. Not good, right? Out for a walk is this man. Walking down the street. Next block. Oh, that looks like my car. You think it's just kind of, you know, your brain working overdrive. That's not my car. Walks up. Uses the key fob. Wait a minute. That is my car. Opens the door. Gets in. Literally his car. That was stolen. Gets in. Drives away. Can't let this moment pass, right? Drives home. Next day, back to normal life. Got my car back. In the car. Driving. Off to work. Pulled over. Police. Sir, do you know what you've done wrong? No, what's the problem, officer? You're driving a stolen vehicle. No. This is my car. No. There's an active report out that this is a stolen car. Takes a man out of his car, arrests him. Downtown you go. Eventually, they got this sorted out. Problem is, the gentleman who found his car never re-reported to police. Car's been found. So as a result, anyone driving the car, even though it was his, still arrested. Spend the better part of a day in jail.
What do you think was going to happen?
So I ask you.
What kind of car is this?
I can't tell you.
Why?
Because I gave you a lead last time. I'm not going to do that this time. I ask you, did this happen in Florida? I haven't gotten you guys in a while, so the clues will be minimal.
This is not an easy one.
No, it's not.
It doesn't really seem fair either that he found his stolen car and was just driving it.
Yeah, but wouldn't you call the police and say, I found it, now I'm going to take it back over?
If he had reported it stolen,
Reported it stolen, and you did get it back, you would sort of think to yourself, like, hey, this car's still reported as stolen.
Yes,
I don't want to get pulled over.
Let me, you know, tell them so that they're not, you know, pounding the pavement looking for this car.
Well, why are you walking around? How long was the car stolen that you're walking around with the key in your pocket still?
Sounds like it was not a lot of time.
He was very hopeful.
I think it was two days. Well, I think it's just on
He's an optimistic fellow.
I think it was just on his key ring. Just, you know.
Does he keep it on his pants like Sandy?
He's like a construction worker, Raymond. Leave him alone. I have no idea. I'm going to say not Florida.
God, this is such a tough one. RJ, you're out to get us today. I don't like it.
I really am, aren't I? That felt like a total guess from me.
It was.
It's a total guess.
Total guess.
These are all going to be total guesses. This is. I have no idea. I'm going to say not Florida.
You're following Dave.
I'll also say not Florida. I feel like it's not.
Everyone put in their.
I'll say not Florida. I feel like it's not Florida.
Everyone put in their faith in Dave.
I don't know why. I have zero faith in this.
Well, your faith is rewarded.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
United Kingdom.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Chip, chip.
I actually found this on a radio show out there. Similar
That's even
to us.
Worse.
Yeah.
You found it on a radio show.
What are
you listening to kind of radio
it
show?
It came up on my speak of your Instagram algorithm. Mine is just work-related.
United Kingdom. That means he probably got pulled over by a smart car.
Maybe he did.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.